This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. Charlotte Elizabeth Diana, the name for the new British royal. Don't touch that dial. Is that news? Healthy, rich couple has a baby that has little chance of becoming queen. She's got an older brother, remember, George. She's fourth in line to the throne. Is that real news or fake news? The NFL draft. Real news? Fake news. Latest Apple product rollout? Real news or sales pitch? The Dow Jones Industrial Average, economists say this, the Dow Jones Industrial Average all by itself is a completely meaningless statistic, less relevant than fake news shows like Jon Stewart's The Daily Show. Later this hour, a history of fake news and a look at how it has proliferated since Orson Welles sprung the hoax of the century with his War of the Worlds Martian invasion broadcast. But to the real news, and it's about the royals, ones that matter. Changes in the House of Saud, the Saudi Arabian royals, since longtime patriarch King Abdullah died last January, could be profoundly meaningful for the Middle East, and we are already seeing signs of this. Just anointed King Salman turns 80 this year, and he's a king in a hurry. Last week, Salman appointed a new generation of leaders, including naming Mohammed bin Nayef, the interior minister, as crown prince. That means he's next in line for the Saudi throne. A historic move, because Prince Mohammed is not a son of the kingdom's founder, King Abdulaziz. This has happened all while the U.S.-Saudi relationship is in a state of historic transformation, and while the Saudis have launched a war in neighboring Yemen with implications for rising Saudi tensions with Iran. Rare times in Riyadh. Joining us is James Smith, former ambassador to Saudi Arabia from 2009 to 2013. Ambassador Smith, welcome to The Takeaway.
John, good to be with you.
Would you call this rare times of turmoil in Riyadh right now?
In some respects, it is because of Yemen, as you mentioned. On the other hand, I would say that there has been a masterstroke of transition to the next generation, because for decades, people have been arguing that the transition to the next generation was going to create great turmoil within the royal family. But King Salman has effected this change with no emotion and no crisis. So it's a bit of a masterstroke in transition.
In terms of turmoil, you're absolutely right. And of course, Islamic countries have a tradition of succession turmoil. The story of Islam is all about the succession turmoil, which is why there are Shia and Sunni Muslims. But let's talk about the clarity that is potentially represented by the fact that there was no turmoil. The Salman have a very clear idea as to what he wants the next generation to do and where Saudi Arabia is headed right now.
From all of the changes that have been affected since King Salman became king, there are a couple of things that stand out. One is, of the new ministers, most of them come from business and industry and have corporate experience, which indicates that he's looking to modernize the bureaucracy, energize the bureaucracy in such a way that it's never happened before. The second is a transition to a younger generation. And as you mentioned, Mohammed bin Nayef is the current Minister of Interior, educated in Portland, Oregon at university, very well-respected individual, has worked closely with all elements of our government, and is someone who has a vision for the future in terms of modernization. So there's an indication that the modernization put in place by King Abdullah will be continued, and then as you move to the next generation, even more so. The addition of Prince Mohammed bin Salman as the deputy crown prince and the second deputy prime minister is an indication of support for the younger generation.
What about foreign policy, though? Let's talk for a second about what the Yemen war means in terms of Saudi Arabia potentially confronting Iran. And there are divisions between Washington and Riyadh about this nuclear treaty.
Yeah, I absolutely agree that Yemen is all about Iran, although the public statements are not. I think there are two very limited objectives that the Saudis are focused on in Yemen. Well, one is a shot across the bow to Iran to stop the strategy of destabilization in the region, which is the Saudis' major concern over the nuclear issue. And the second is to halt the advance of the Houthis and in some way cause a conversation between the Houthis and the Hadi government to bring back the Hadi government, probably with the Houthis a part of that, and move back to a sense of stability in Yemen. So I see the air campaign as having very limited objectives with the issue of moving to a political settlement very quickly. The larger issue, of course, is Iran and an Arab coalition that's telling Iran, no more, stop interfering.
We're talking with James Smith, former ambassador to Saudi Arabia from 2009 to 2013. Ambassador Smith, thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having me today. It was great to be with you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.